Okay, so think about this challenge. You see a swarm of robots moving, almost like they have a mind of their own, or you know how some news just explodes across social media. Even think about cells interacting inside us.
Yeah, complex systems everywhere, lots of moving parts.
Exactly. And the thing that links them is these interactions between all the individual bits. But the real puzzle is figuring out who is actually interacting with whom and like what are the rules for those interactions. It's tough.
That really is the core problem, isn't it? We can see the big picture, the collective dance, the paths these agents take over time, but the hidden stuff, the actual network map underneath, and the specific way they influence each other, that's usually invisible.
A black box almost.
Precisely. And that's where this really interesting research paper comes in. It's called Interacting Particle Systems on Networks, Joint Inference of the Network and the Interaction Kernel.
Okay, joint inference. Let's unpack that a bit. So this isn't just about finding the connections, the who, or just the rules, the how. They're trying to do both at the same time.
Exactly. That's the ambitious part. Simultaneously figuring out the network structure and the interaction mechanism just by looking at how the system evolves.
Wow. Okay. And the data they use for this.
It's based on observing multiple trajectories. So think of it as having several recordings of how these agents, maybe they're robots, people in a forum, neurons, whatever, change their state over a period of time.
So you watch them move or change opinion or fire multiple times.
Right. And the challenge is to take that behavioral data and work backwards to reverse engineer both who's connected to whom and how that connection actually works. Like, what's the function describing their influence?
It sounds like trying to learn a language just by reading the final translated books without the dictionary or grammar rules. So what's our plan here? What's the mission for this deep dive?
Well, our goal is to pull out the key ideas, the real gems from this, let's be honest, pretty technical paper, and serve them up to you in a way that's clear, engaging, without getting totally lost in the weeds of the math.
A shortcut through the complex stuff. I like it.
Think of it as giving you the essential toolkit, the main concepts from this cutting-edge work.
Perfect. I'm ready for the shortcut. So, how do they actually do it? How do these researchers tackle this big problem of finding the network and the rules together?
So the paper puts forward two main algorithms. The first is called alternating least squares, or ALS.
ALS.
And the second is a newer approach they introduce called operator regression with alternating least squares, or ORLs.
Orals. Got it.
And a really important point about both is that they're designed with scalability in mind. They're meant to handle potentially huge data sets, lots of agents observed over long times, which you often get in these complex systems.
Right, because real-world networks can be massive. So ALS and orals. What's the intuition? How do they work, broadly speaking? How do they untangle the who from the how?
Okay, let's start with ALS. The core idea there is iterative refinement. You basically go back and forth
Back and forth between what?
between estimating the network, who's connected, and estimating the interaction kernel, how they interact. You start with a guess for one, say the network.
Okay, make an initial guess about the connections.
Right. Then, using the data, you have the trajectories, you figure out the interaction rules that best fit that network guess.
Ah, okay. So if this is the network, then these must be the rules to explain what we saw.
Exactly. But then you hold those rules fixed and you go back and refine your estimate of the network. Does a different network structure perhaps fit those rules even better, given the data?
I see. So you improve the network
And
guess.
you keep alternating. Refine the rules based on the current network, then refine the network based on the current rules, back and forth until hopefully your estimates stop changing much. They converge.
So it's like you guess the social circles, see if that explains pinion spread. Maybe it doesn't quite fit. So you adjust the circles, then recheck the influence rules, adjust those, keep tweaking until it clicks.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You iteratively improve both pieces until they form a consistent picture that explains the observed behavior.
That makes intuitive sense. Step-by-step improvement. Now, what about orals? You said it's different.
It is, slightly. ORLs uses a, let's say, two-phase approach. Phase one involves something called operator regression.
Operator regression. Sounds fancy.
It's a bit more abstract. Basically, in this first step, it estimates some mathematical objects that actually combine information about both the network and the kernel. It doesn't separate them yet. Think of it like a preliminary statistical crunching step.
Okay, so it calculates something that mixes the who and the how together initially.
Kind of, yeah. And then phase two uses a deterministic alternating least squares method, similar in spirit to the ALS we just discussed, but it applies it to these combined objects from phase one. Its job is to then disentangle them, to pull apart the network estimate from the interaction kernel estimate.
Ah, so ORLS does some upfront work to get this combined representation, and then it uses an alternating process to tease them apart into the final network and rules.
That's a really good way to put it. The operator regression part learns this sort of intermediate combined picture, which then makes the job of separating the network from the kernel in the second phase a bit more tractable, mathematically speaking.
Okay, these both sound like clever strategies, but how do we know if they're actually finding the right network and the right rules? Like, are they reliable? Can we trust the output?
That's a super important question. And the paper dives into this using something called coercivity conditions.
Coercivity conditions, okay.
These are basically theoretical requirements. They're conditions about the underlying system dynamics and, crucially, about the data itself, how rich and informative it is.
So conditions that need to be met for the methods to work properly.
Exactly. If these coercivity conditions hold, the paper provides mathematical guarantees. Guarantees that, for instance, you can uniquely identify the true network and kernel, and that the estimation process itself is stable and makes sense.
Coercivity. Can we make that a bit more concrete? What does it mean for the data or the system?
Okay, think about trying to figure out how a puppet works, but you only ever see it do one tiny little wave.
Right, you wouldn't learn much.
Exactly. Coercivity is about making sure you see enough different puppet moves. The data needs enough variety, enough richness. The agents need to explore enough different states and interactions for you to actually distinguish the strings in the network from the way they're being pulled in the interaction kernel.
So if the system is too static, or if everyone just does the same thing all the time,
then you can't learn the underlying rules. If everyone in your social network example only ever agrees on everything and never changes their mind, how can you possibly tell who's influencing whom?
It makes sense. You need some action, some variability.
Precisely. Coercivity conditions are the mathematical way of capturing that need for sufficient exploration or richness in the observed behavior. If the data covers enough ground, dynamically speaking, then you have a good shot at disentangling the network and the kernel.
So if the system is just, I don't know, boring and predictable, these methods might struggle.
That's the essence of it. And the paper actually discusses different types of these conditions, like joint coercivity and interaction kernel coercivity, which relate to how well the data covers the possibilities for both the rules and the network structure.
And if these conditions are met,
then good things happen. For example, they show that under certain coercivity conditions, the ORLS algorithm isn't just consistent, meaning it gets closer to the truth as you get more data.
Which is good.
Yeah, very good. But it also has a property called asymptotic normality, which basically means you can start to quantify the uncertainty in your estimates. You can put error bars on your estimated network connections or interaction rules.
Ah, so you get a sense of how confident you can be in the results. That's really useful.
Absolutely crucial for practical applications.
Okay, so we have these algorithms, ALS and ORLS, and we have these theoretical checks, the coercivity conditions. It sounds like a solid framework. What about putting it to the test? Did they look at real world type examples?
They did. They explored several really cool examples. One was the Kurimoto model.
Kurimoto. I've heard of that. Isn't that about synchronization?
Exactly. It's a classic model used to describe how things that oscillate, pendulums, fireflies flashing, neurons firing, even generators in a power grid can start synchronizing up with each other.
Okay. So how do they apply their methods there?
Well, in the Kurimoto model, the synchronization pattern depends heavily on who is connected to whom. They showed that by observing the oscillators' phases over time, their algorithms could successfully infer the underlying network driving the synchronization.
That's pretty neat, figuring out the connections just by watching things fall into sync. What else?
Another really interesting area was leader-follower dynamics.
Ah, like finding the influencers.
Precisely. This is super relevant for understanding opinion dynamics in social networks, but also for things like animal groups. They specifically mention flocks of pigeons coordinating their movement.
Pigeons. Okay.
Yeah. The idea is that these algorithms could potentially identify which agents are acting as leaders, exerting more influence, and how the followers respond. Imagine being able to map out influence in an online community, not by asking people, but just by watching how opinions shift and cluster over time.
That could be incredibly powerful. No more surveys, just observe the dynamics.
It really could be. Objectively identifying key players based purely on the observed interaction data.
Were there any other types of systems they looked at?
Yes. They also considered situations where things get even more complex, where you might have multiple types of interactions happening at the same time.
Oh, like how?
Well, imagine a biological system. You might have cells interacting through direct physical touch, short-range interaction. But maybe they also release chemicals that diffuse and affect cells further away, a long-range interaction.
Right, different mechanism.
Exactly. So
Okay.
the way agents interact isn't uniform. To handle this, the paper proposes an extension, a kind of threefold ALS algorithm. It tries to estimate the network, the kernels, and potentially even classify the type of interaction happening between different pairs of agents.
Wow. Okay. So it's not just who and how, but maybe even what kind of how. That adds another layer entirely.
It really does. It opens the door to tackling even more realistic, messy, real-world systems where interactions aren't all the same flavor.
This has been really fascinating. It's kind of amazing to think that just by watching things, particles, agents, people move or change state, we can potentially uncover these hidden structures, the network underneath, and the actual rules governing how they influence each other.
Absolutely. I think the key takeaways are, first, just recognizing this fundamental challenge. How do you learn both the network structure and the interaction rules when you only see the resulting behavior?
Right, the joint inference problem.
Exactly. And second, this research gives us two concrete, scalable algorithms, ALS and ORLs, as potential tools to tackle it.
Tools that come with some theoretical backing, these coercivity conditions.
Precisely. Those conditions tell us when we can be reasonably confident in the results, reminding us that the quality of the data, its richness, is crucial.
And the potential uses are just so broad. We talked about synchronization, the Kuramoto model.
Finding leaders and followers in networks like social influence or animal flocking.
And even handling systems with multiple kinds of interactions going on. That example of identifying leaders just by watching opinions flow is really striking.
It is. Or understanding why a group of oscillators synchronizes in a particular way. These methods offer a path to that understanding directly from observations.
So, maybe a final thought for you listening. Think about your own work, or just systems you see in everyday life. Could this kind of approach, learning the network and the rules from behavior, offer a new lens?
Yeah, could it help understand underlying structures? Or hidden rules in data that just looks chaotic on the surface? It's a powerful perspective.
It definitely is. And if this deep dive has got you curious, well, there's a whole world out there to explore further. Network science, interacting particle systems.
Definitely look into those concepts. And maybe even check out the paper we discussed if you're feeling ambitious.
It's clearly a field that's moving fast. Lots of open questions still, right? Like dealing with missing data or maybe developing methods that don't need to assume a specific mathematical form for the interaction rules.
Oh, absolutely. Non-parametric estimation, learning from only partial observations, tons of exciting directions for future research, a whole landscape waiting to be explored.